So good evening to you all, folks. This is a beautiful, beautiful day, Pentecost Sunday. And it's the opportunity for us, I think, to hear one of the great little short reflections in John's gospel that are just extraordinary words. He begins that little part of the gospel by describing the fact that these disciples are locked in this room, and they're full of fear and full of anxiety. And he appears, and he says twice, actually 14 different times, mind you, in that gospel, "Peace be with you." So here's the darkness and the turmoil of life. And God knows you and I know that we've all experienced something in our lives that is brought us to a low state. Maybe we've just worked too hard, or our lives are so full, and maybe we have a disappointment in our lives that's really taken us, or maybe there's an addiction that we are attempting to try to understand, whatever that is. And to hear that word from Jesus, "Peace be with you," whoa, that's good. So I think that word is given to all of us today. No matter where you find yourself tonight, my brothers and sisters, our Jesus says to each one of you on this great feast, "Peace be to you." Now, if you walk out of here in turmoil, there's not a darn thing I can do about it. But I just hope that you'll hear that great word, that great gift, 14 times it said in that gospel. And then he says, "Whose sins you forgive, they're forgiven. And whose sins you retain, they're retained." So he breathes on them with the gift of the Spirit, but he goes right at one of the central struggles of our lives. I don't want to spend too much time on it tonight, but it's so critical. The ability to be able to forgive. But my brothers and sisters, to be able to forgive ourselves. You and I know that we carry with us all these dark corners of our life. And so we are weighed down by fear and anxiety and disappointment. And we don't forgive ourselves. And as a result of that, we find it hard to forgive anybody else. So no wonder we believe that the Spirit only floats in once a year. You know, down comes the Holy Spirit. Tongues of fire. If there's one central thing I want to say to you tonight, then you can go to sleep if you like. The one thing I want to say to you tonight, I am firmly convinced that Spirit is in each of us. That Spirit continues to guide and direct and form us every day, every part of every day. But we get so sidetracked by either the busyness of our lives, the turmoil of our lives, or the sadness of our lives. And as a result of it, we don't see that Spirit. We don't know that Spirit. And that's why we need this celebration more than probably any other feast of the year, except maybe Easter and Good Friday. So that's what we're celebrating. So here's the story. My dear friend, Sister Edith Prendergast, as you know, Director of Religious Education for this Archdiocese, wrote a beautiful book called Grace Abounds. It's many of the reflections that she gave at different congresses. And she tells this story that I think is just incredible. It's written by a woman named Anna Quindlen. She was a reporter, journalist in New York City. And she was writing an article about homelessness, especially in winter. And she says, "I found one of my best teachers, homeless person, at Coney Island." Don't you like that? "It was December, and I was doing a story about how the homeless suffer in the winter months. So this person and I sat at the edge of the wooden supports, dangling our feet over the side. And this homeless person told me his schedule. Panhandling on the boulevard. Sleeping in a church when the temperature was below freezing. But he told me that most of the time, he stayed right here on the boardwalk, Coney Island. And he did it most of the day, facing the water. I asked him, why? Why would you waste all of your day here? And he stared out at the ocean, and he said, look at the view, young lady. Look at the view. Words of wisdom from a man without a dime in his pocket, nowhere to go, and no place to be. Look at the view. And I believe that that's what this great feast gives to us tonight. It tells us, change our view. Instead of living in that side of your life, live in the grace and the gift and the power of that Spirit. I am so convinced we miss, you and I, that powerful Spirit every day. You ever get a thought, you know, someone's in the hospital. And so you mean to go see this person because, you know, you want to be attentive. But it might take you a couple of days. You know, it's parking isn't good and it costs you some money and you got to get out and you got to navigate the sign on your badge and, you know, and all that stuff, blah, 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 blah. But when you finally just get off your and get in there and you go into the room and you come out, what do you feel like? What do you always say? I feel so good. You see, that's the sign. That's that Spirit guiding, directing, focusing us on things that bring goodness into life, that give us the joy that we need every day. I was in that auditorium. We just had a mass, baccalaureate mass, for 125 of our finest seniors. It was fabulous. The place was jammed, and we were all fired up this afternoon. And this one kid, Ryan, he's top of the class. What do you call it when you're the top person that speaks? Valedictorian. That's what he is. Got the principal's award. Alex Chacon gave this big acclaim about his life, and the thing that changed his life was his first confession. I said, geez, I don't even remember my, but anyway, there he was. I mean, the kid is, and he's very shy. He's not a look at me kind of kid. And I knew Ryan, but I didn't know him. His mom and dad came up to me and said, Monsignor Torgerson, 4 years ago, we came here on a Sunday for open house. He was in a public school. And you said to me the open house was the day before. It was on Saturday. You missed it. So we kind of started to walk away. And the thought went in our head, I guess we're too far behind. This kid will probably never get into our school, your school. And I said, just a minute. I don't remember it, but I said, just a minute. So I opened up the door, got him into the high school, had him look around, talked to him for a few moments. Top of his class. Now you tell me that was nothing but the Holy Spirit. I mean, I'm busy. I'm too busy to talk to people. Aren't we all? But for some reason or other on that day, I said, plus one. Let me just take, I don't know, the kid from the Hillabines. But those are the things that happen, my brothers and sisters, every day. So if you want to spend your day dwelling on those other things, if you will never be able to forgive yourself of things that you've done, I say, forget about that stuff. Move on. Be attentive to the power and the gift and the grace of that Spirit, that just, that voice. And it's there. And it moves you. Go do it. My final little thought. Two stories, I know it's a lot, but they're short. The disciple says to the master, "All my life, I've searched for meaning." "The meaning is in the search," the master said to the disciple, waving off the man's distress. Chagrined by that remark, the disciple said, "Then I will never find meaning." Haven't we all said that? "No," said the master. "You will never stop looking." And then the master, for a moment holding back, unsure that he would be too harsh, said this, "My friend," the master began again, "know that you are a man with a lantern who goes in search of the light." All of us, we have a lantern, and it's in us, and it draws us to the light. If you think your new car, or your new job, or your new restaurant, or your new love, or your new whatever it is going to change you, yes, it will, for about 2 weeks. And you're right back. Unless the lantern that's in you is on. And we can turn that lantern off. Yes, we can. So my brothers and sisters, Pentecost, today, tomorrow, this week, forever. Light it up. Be drawn to the light. I'd like to conclude with the beautiful prayer of Henry Newman, Cardinal Newman. He says, "Come, Holy Spirit, make our ears to hear, make our eyes to see, make our mouths to speak, make our hearts to seek, make our hands to reach out and touch the world with your love. Come, Holy Spirit." Amen. By the way, you know what Francis said today, our Pope? This guy's on fire. He's 76 years of age, you know. He's older than me. And he said today, Pentecost, he said, "If you stay in your rooms, if you stay in your churches, and you sit around drinking tea and discussing theology, nothing will happen. It's dead," he said. He said, "Go out to the extremities of the world." And he said, "Don't just give to the poor something," because that's his great thing. "Look them in the eye. Hold their hand. Embrace them." Happy Pentecost. That's from two old men, you and Francis.